ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதே நமஹ. யுத்த காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 69. அதிகாய் கோஸ் அவுட் டு ஃபைட். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. Trishuras gave ears to the laments of Ravana and hastened to address himself to his king and kinsmen. Your majesty speaks true. The countless worlds hold none that could take his place by the side of my uncle in valor and strength. And yet he met with his death, an inexplicable mystery indeed. But great men like your majesty are not wont to grieve over so much. You have in the hollow of your hands the worlds three in number to protect and destroy, and it becomes you not to give way to grief like an ordinary mortal. You have from Brahma himself the mighty weapon Shakti, divine armor, bow and arrows are the result of his stern tapas and his grace. You ride on a car drawn by 1,000 mules. It marches alone with the roar of the mighty cloud banks. With your bare hands you have worsted times out of number the Devas and Danavas and sent them to their death. And should you enter the battlefield fully armed and nobly mounted, there is not the slightest shadow of a doubt that Rama will lie low before you, a headless carcass. Put away care far behind you. I go forth to fight like unto Garuda that brings death to the huge sea serpents. I will make short work of the foes. Even as the king of God sent the Asura Shambhara to the halls of death, even as the Lord Vishnu wiped off the Asura Naraka from the face of the worlds, shall I hack to bits the Rama with my dread weapons. His words brought peace and gladness to the heart of Ravana, even as he was granted a new and longer lease of life, and fate willed it so. At the words of Trishira, Devantak, Narantak and Atikai, they were eager to fight and rushed towards the battlefield, each trying to be there before the other, roaring, "Mine the first!" The Rakshasas took the word of Trishiras as including themselves and started for the battlefield along with him, like unto Indra, the ruler of the gods, in valor, coursing at will through the sky and the heavens, adepts at the magic art of illusion, the holy terror of the Devas, never known to have given way in battle or ever been worsted. Unparalleled in the ranks of the mighty and illustrious heroes, they were never known to come back from the battlefield without destroying their foes. The very names were enough to turn the hearts of the Devas, Gandharvas, Kinnaras and Uragas to water. They were intelligent and learned, valiant, past masters in the use of weapons, grown gray in wisdom, gifted with wonderful tools, radiant like the noonday sun, and a tornado in the heart of the armies of the foes. And Ravana, surrounded by these sons of his, shone even like Mahendra in the midst of the Devas, who curbed the pride of the Danavas. He embraced his sons fondly, uttered mighty blessings over their heads, and sent them forth to fight. With them he dispatched his brothers Yudhonmata, Mata, to guard them in case of any contingency. They went round Ravana, the mighty hero, saluted him, and took their way to the field of battle. Graced with every perfume of magic potency and herbs of wonderful powers, those six Rakshasa heroes were filled with the lust of valor and emerged from the capital. Mounted upon an elephant and rat, Sudarshana by name, born of the breed of Iravata, Mahodhar came to the battleground like unto the sun blazing on the top of the setting mountain. On the turret, fixed on its back, were ranged in order quivers and weapons of every kind. Trishuras rode on a car drawn by noble steeds and fit with every warlike material. Three crowns adorned his three heads. They gave one the idea of the Himalayas with its golden peaks, or like unto a huge cloud bank resting on the top of a lofty mountain, through which played lightning chains, and over the surface of which coursed meteors and rainbows. At the guy that matchless bowman rode on another car of divine make, fashioned beautifully and skillfully and furnished with all kinds of weapons, and coming upon one like the very armor of the sun, a crown of molten gold, chased with gems and ornaments of every kind, gave him the look of the sun resting on the mountain Meru, resplendent with his thousand rays. That prince, followed by the Rakshasa heroes, marched forth to battle, looked very much like Indra going forth to give fight to his foes, the Danavas, with his hosts of the heaven world about him. On his part, Narantaka started to go to the field of the battle, decked with gems and gold, and mounted on a horse, fleeter than thought itself. It was huge of bulk. Every kind of excellence went to adorn it, and it came of the lordly breed of Uchchasravas, the horse that Indra bestrode. Even as Skanda himself on his peacock, marching forth with his terrible Shakti playing lightly in his hand, did Narantaka grasp a flaming spear like unto a blazing meteor itself. Devantaka was there with a huge weapon named Parigha, of iron, adorned with gems, and it looked as if he was mocking the Lord Mahavishnu himself, who bore lightly the Mount Mandara on the day when the gods and asuras joined hands to churn the ocean of milk. Mahaparshva, of prodigious bulk of body, came along with a terrible club in his hand, like the Kubera with his mace. And these Rakshasa lords were followed by troops of every kind, infantry, cavalry, elephantry, and cars, flashing with weapons of various kinds and boundless in their courage and enthusiasm. The princes, radiant in the sheen of noble crowns on their heads, rivaled the Lord of Day in luster and recalled to one the notion of sacred planets coursing through the sky in their shining glory. The weapons that they bore shone like serried swans resembling autumnal clouds. We go back with victorious arms, or we take our way to the halls of immortal heroes in the heaven world. With these resolves on their lips did they roar and shout in their mad battle lust. They threw their arrows aloft in the sky and caught them back skillfully. The earth trembled in affright at the war cries of the Rakshasa heroes. The lion roars, proud challenges and shouts of joy. The sky was clean riven. Thus did the Rakshasa army issue forth from the fortress gates of Lanka and come upon the monkeys that expected them most eagerly, with mountain peaks and lofty trees and huge slabs to welcome them. The monkey heroes beheld the Rakshasa troops, and boundless was their delight and surprise. The vast array was coming towards them. Countless elephants and horses were there in evidence. The tinkling bells, many thousands in number, fell sweetly on the ear. Their ornaments and weapons shone on their black frames, even as lightning plays against the cloud banks. A smokeless fire, a radiant sun, were the sights recalled to one's mind by the Rakshasa warriors blazing in their luster. And the monkeys roared most frightfully and fiercely and cried, "This day dawns upon a most noble battle." The Rakshasas were no whit behind them and gave forth roar for roar and shout for shout. Like unto mountains in the glory of their lofty peaks did the monkey heroes grasp hills and mountains in their huge hands and made their way into the frightful ranks of the Rakshasas and went through it from end to end. Some fought from the sky and some from the ground and kept an unceasing downpour of trees and rocks on the Rakshasas. In their turn, the Rakshasas beat them back with their arrows. The monkeys and the Rakshasas roared like lions every now and then. Huge slabs crashed down upon the devoted heads of the Rakshasas. The monkeys sprang upon the Rakshasas, adorned with armor and ornaments of priceless value. Some bore down upon the warriors in their car, and others took charge of yet other Rakshasas on their horses and elephants. Some of them were frightfully crushed by mountain peaks, some were hit by the fists of their foes and lost their eyes in consequence. Many a brave warrior was hurled down and roared in impotent anger. Yet they brought their keen arrows to leave the bodies of the monkeys. They struck at them with their tridents, rods, swords, javelin, shakti and the like. Others were resolved in dead earnest to defeat their opponents. Blood coursed in torrents down their bodies. They hit and thrust and pulled and fell senseless. That field of battle was in the space of a muhurta, hit from view by the mountain, hurled by the monkeys and the rakshasas. The swords were wielded and knives thrown, and from it there poured on all sides huge torrents of blood. The rakshasas, filled with the lust of battle, lay there all over the field like mountains uprooted. Some were clean hurled aloft by the monkeys. Some were being thus punished. Some had their tridents broken and yet rushed forth to fight with bare hands. Some rakshasas killed the monkeys by their own clansmen. Likewise, some monkeys struck down the rakshasas with their friends as weapon. The huge slabs hurled by the monkeys were lightly struck aside by the rakshasas, who slew the enemies, thus rendered weaponless. In return, the monkeys broke to pieces the weapons discharged by the rakshasas and slew them, smiting them terribly. They hit each other with mountains, tridents, and magical weapons, and roared and shouted like lions for pure joy. The rakshasas were struck down by the monkeys and had their armor smashed to bits and vomited torrents of blood like blood-flowing trees. Some monkeys struck the chariots against one another and the horses alike. In fact, the monkey troops were filled with boundless joy and glee and fought with the rakshasas with slabs, trees, and huge peaks. In the battle between the monkeys and the rakshasas, terrible to behold, weapons like Ardhachandra, Bhalla, Kshura, sharp and keen were freely used by the rakshasas to cut down the trees and mountains. That field of battle was made impassable by crashing mountains, blown to pieces, falling of trees, broken to bits, and by the dead monkeys and rakshasas. Gradually, the monkeys grew apace in pride and haughtiness and joy, threw aside terror and care. With boundless courage and valor, they gave fight to the rakshasas with weapons of various kinds. While the two forces were fighting with one another at close quarters, the monkeys roared in victory and the rakshasas were routed all along. The great sages and the hosts of the god worlds praised the victors mightily and cried, "Great! Great!" Narantaka mounted upon a steed fleet as the lord of air himself. He grasped a terrible weapon named Shakti, and like a huge whale entering the deep waters of the ocean, fell upon the monkey troops. And with his flaming javelin, he hit and clove the monkeys 700 at a time. In a moment, he put them to flight single-handed. Why, the very lord of the gods trembled at the sight. Huge of body, mounted upon a huge horse, he marked his passage with mire and mud and made of the flesh and blood of his foes. On the either side were piled the bodies of countless monkeys of mountainous bulk struck down by the rakshasas. The Vidyadharas and the Maharishis grieved sore to behold it. Even before the monkeys essayed to attack him, he was upon them and clove them to pieces. Like the forest fire playing amidst trees and shrubs and undergrowth in the midsummer, did Narantaka roam through the battlefield with his blazing javelin. He verily reduced to ashes a very large portion of the monkey hosts. Before the monkeys had time to discharge trees and mountains against him, they were struck down with his blazing javelin like unto mountains struck down by the Vajra of Indra. Like an angry storm crashing down black cloud banks during the rains, did that rakshasa make himself felt all over the battlefield and chase the monkeys all over. They could neither run away nor stay nor move. He pursued those that strove to escape by desperate leaps or stood dazed or sought to avoid him by the fleetness of their feet and to seek cover. Thus did Narantaka drive away behind the monkey hosts with his fiery javelin to aid him, even like the Lord of Death stalking about a dying world with his trident. It fell upon them like the Vajra of Indra himself, and the monkey troops cried and howled most pitiably, unable to bear the onslaught. Like mountain peaks falling to pieces under the strokes of Indra's Vajra, the bodies of the monkeys rained all over the place. Meanwhile, the monkeys that were cruelly punished by Kumbhakarna sought the presence of Sugriva and were resting for a while. He, the ruler of the monkey worlds, beheld his forces put to rout by Narantaka and escaping here and there in mad terror. He beheld that Rakshasa coming towards him on his lofty horse with a fiery javelin poised in his hands ready to throw. He called out to Angada, who was by, and said, "Boy, your valor is on a level with that of the Lord of the heavenly world, is it not so? Lo, there comes that Rakshasa on his horse and afflicts our forces sore. Bar his way, fall upon him, and let his life be forfeit to you." The son of Vali bowed in obedience. Like the sun merging from the black clouds, did he march out from the midst of the black monkey regions. That prince, with a body hard as the very mountains themselves, decked with beautiful armlets, looked like a mountain streaming with veins of ore. He had no weapons but his beaks and claws, not that he needed any. He barred the way of Narantaka and cried, "Here, you puny Rakshasa, what are you about? What do you gain in the way of glory and fame by wasting your might and strength on these insignificant monkeys? Stay and hit me with a javelin in your hand that blazes like the Vajra itself." Narantaka bit his lips at being thus slighted by a monkey. He hissed like a mighty serpent. He whirled aloft his fiery javelin and struck with it at the huge chest of the son of Vali. It came into contact with the broad breast of the best and bravest of the monkey world. It was hard like Vajra itself, yet it shivered to bits. Like a serpent torn to pieces by the Lord Garuda, it met the sight of Angada and inflamed him to fury. He laughed in thunderous tones, sprang upon the steed of Narantaka and hit on the head. The skull was clean cloven, the eyes gouged out, the tongue hung from the mouth, and the noble steed gave up its life breaths. Narantaka was mad with fury thereat, and clenching his huge fist, he struck Angada on the head a terrific blow. It crushed under the blow. Torrents of blood rained over him, and he lost his senses for a while. Recovering himself in no time, he was filled with wonder and blazed in his wrath. He brought his mighty fist, huge as a mountain, against the breast of Narantaka, even as the bolt of Indra fell upon him. The Rakshasa had his breast broken to pieces, vomited torrents of blood like unto fiery flames, and fell upon the earth, a lifeless corpse, drenched all over with blood, even as a lofty mountain hit by the Vajra of Indra. Thereat a mighty roar of joy and victory came out of the monkey host, and the heavenly spectators ranged on high. Thus did Angada place his account, a deed of valor impossible for others to achieve, and gladden the heart of Rama. And Raghuvira, of matchless strength and valor, could not praise him enough nor give expression to his wonder. Angada felt himself quite a new being, thanks to the appreciation of Rama. His strength and courage and energy grew apace, and he stood forth ready and eager to give battle once more. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunavati Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhumaya Mangalam.